Still hear pages flipping. Everybody haven't went high tech yet, so we still have some pages flipping. Matthew 5:38. See, ye have heard that it have been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray today, and we ask that you just give us the power, Father God, to turn the other cheek. Give us the power, Father God, when someone comes against us and wants our coat, that we give them the cloak also. And if someone comes at us, Father God, and wants us to do something, that we would just do it exceedingly. We go the extra mile. Father, thank you in advance for the word of God. Thank you in advance for the people. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the praying. Thank you for everything you've done so far. Now, Father God, bless our ears that we would hear the word of God in a way that we can make application. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Taking one for the team. Everybody heard that term before?
Yes.
Just have to buckle down, swallow your pride. You might have to do something unpleasant. Make a personal sacrifice, but you're doing it for the team. Jesus is speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's telling us what a Christian is. Now, I know some of us, you can't get away from it. Turn on the news, and everybody's talking about the politicians. They all say they're Christians. And it just resonates with me because I've been teaching here, because Christ is telling us what a Christian is. Uh-huh. Now, any of us can be on that stage too. Are you poor in spirit? Are you a mourner? When you look at our world, when you see the man walk into the factory in Oklahoma or Kansas and just shoot up folks. When you see the Uber driver just killing folks. When you read the story of a 14-year-old man who raped and murdered his math teacher and is given 35 years of life at the age of 17. Do you mourn? Or have you just become hardened? Are you a mourner? Are you meek? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are you merciful? Are you pure in heart? Are you a peacemaker? And because of all of those things, are you persecuted for righteousness' sake? When the situation gets a little out of hand, are you the salt of the earth? When the world around you is dark and you enter into a dark room, does it become darker, or are you the light of the world? Are you a murderer? Do you have murderous thoughts? Right now, are you angry at somebody? Are you an adulterer? Are you in a relationship with somebody's wife or somebody's husband? No, that's not me, but how do you look at people of the opposite sex? Do you lust? Can you tell the truth? Now, I described the politicians who say they are Christians because all that should apply to them. We know it don't. We know it don't. Jesus in his text, in our text today, and we're going to look at verse number 40 today. And it says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. What's that mean? In the Mosaic law, a person could use his inner garment, his t-shirt, wife beaters, whatever you want to call it. They can use that as a down payment for a loan, but that person who they borrowed that from could only keep it until the sun went down. They would have to give it to him, give it back to him, because they needed that. What Jesus is saying, there were some shady folks. He still got some. They just changed the name. They call themselves Payday Loan now and CarMax and title lenders and all that. So what these shady dealers would do, they would take somebody's inner garment, and even though the person would want to pay them back, maybe they're just a little late, they would keep it. And Jesus saying, instead of losing your Christianity, give them the coat also, or give them that outer garment. What Jesus is saying is, saved folks ought not be petty. Let me say that again. Saved folks ought not be petty. Because when you're petty, really what you're saying is, I don't trust God to take care of me. Amen. So I got to sue you. And I found it interesting what the word sue means. It really means to prosecute someone, to indict someone, to condemn someone, to punish someone. And Jesus said, Chris Slayfolk ought not be in that business. Amen. It means to judge someone. Now say that. Some folks, in the true meaning of the word sue, some folks need to be judged. Some folks do. Some folks need to be called to the carpet. And the word of God is full of it. It's full of folks being called to the carpet. What Jesus is saying is, don't let some loser cause you to lose your standing with God because of something petty. But at the same time, there's a time where we need to charge folks. I say that. I've been charged. There's an indictment out on pastors. When these two ministers received their license, they was charged. They took an oath that they're going to preach God's word. Paul says it like this when he charged the preachers. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's a type of an indictment. Sometimes pastors need to be indicted. I believe we got a country full of pastors that need to be indicted, that know that they're called to do something. Paul says this. He said, I charge thee. There you go. There's our word. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What did he charge them? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Listen. Sometimes wives need to be charged. Sometimes we need to charge our wives The word of God charges wives. That's what it says, Ephesians 5:22. This is a charge. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let me take that a little deeper, because I got some young women, they like to sit in my office and talk to me. Don't get in a relationship with a man if you can't submit to him. Some of the women should have said amen. If he's not strong enough, if he don't have his big boy drawers on, if you don't have enough respect for him to submit to him, leave him alone.
Amen.
Oh, now that makes too much sense. Here's a charge to the husband. Y'all know I was going. Here's a charge to the husband. Don't just hear the word of God is full of charges. Then we charge somebody. Oh, you're being so mean. Now, I'm not up here playing game. This ain't a game.
Amen.
Satan ain't playing. But the pastors is playing. Satan is charging folks all the time. Roy and I have made a good living, and because Satan has been doing his work. We ain't never been laid off.
Never.
Now, so I'm not gonna sit here and play. But here's a charge to the husband. They've already charged him. So I love when y'all just all in my sermon. Caitlin come off this morning. She's all in my sermon. Husbands, here's a charge. Love your wives. Your wives. You ain't got no business loving nobody else's wife. Love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself, died for it. Somewhere in the Word of God said the church is built on the blood of Christ. Now, you're charging folks. Charge you young people. Word of God. You know, children is in the Bible 1,540 times. Children. So don't y'all have to say, Pastor, I always preach to the young people. Listen, children is in the Bible 1,540 times. Colossians 3:20. Children. Children mean you at home and you don't have no money and you eating the food that your parents bring in the house. And when you go to a restaurant, your parents, you don't bring your wallet because you don't have a wallet. And if you have a wallet, there's nothing in it. You a child. Until you have a car and you can get around on your own, you a child. I just it's laughable to me, and I hear young folks want to date. Let me tell you something.
Come on.
You date when you got a car, and you date when you got a wallet with some money in it. Till then, you a child. No, I'm a man. No, you a child. Until you can come to Sam's Club with me and say, I got half of that. I'm making sense, ain't I?
Amen.
Children, there's a charge. Obey your parents in all things until you got enough dough to say, I'm not obeying you no more. I'm leaving here and I ain't never coming back. Okay? And now you ain't got to obey me. This is important. Jill, you listen to me now. I like messing with Jill.
Amen.
Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? Somebody said it. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Well, Mama, you made some mistakes. You did some stuff, and I want you to do it. You don't obey them because your parents were perfect. Amen. There ain't no such thing as a perfect parent. But we done some stuff. You don't need to do it. My father, love him, I love him to death. But my father drank. And when he drank, he got mean and hit women and beat my mother. Now, I love my father. But he taught me one thing about drinking. Don't drink. Okay. Now, my father worked every day, never missed a day, paid his bills, was a good father until the alcohol came around. Amen. I obeyed him because I won't drink. Why should we obey our parents? Somebody said, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Let me tell you something, young people. Some of the hell you going through now is because you refuse to obey your parents in all things. That's just the truth. Now I say it all the time because y'all know I'm a stickler for education. Nobody hearing me now because they don't give African-American men homework. And if they do, they only give them enough to do in a 20-minute study hall. Now, when I was coming up, there was a commercial of Pennzoil. It said, you can pay me now or pay me later. Okay? Now, Ray getting the job, he started on tomorrow. I said, Ray, listen, tell you something. I ain't say he had to pay rent. What I tell him is, I say, Ray, let me tell you something. Arby's ain't looking for average. They looking for the extra. They looking for somebody going to come in there and see a need and do it. Somebody going to see some paper on the floor and pick it up. Somebody going to see the bathroom need clean and clean it. They not looking for somebody standing over the fryer. They looking for workers that's going to work. You won't have to worry about finding jobs. You know how to work. Amen. Oh, come on now. Listen. God charged the church. See, God charges the church. He not only charges pastors. He charges the church. It's important that we turn and look at 2 Thessalonians because he's going to charge you. Because, see, we have a love for false teaching. In this country, we have a love for false teaching. Why, Pastor? Why do we love false teaching? Because we want to stay in our mess. We want to stay in our mess, and we don't want to hear the truth. And when you hear it, we're going to condemn the preacher. Uh-huh. Well, I, like I say, I'm all right with it. But here's Paul charging the church. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about the evil one. See, the evil one knows we love false teaching. Amen. Because we got a sin nature. See, a sin nature going to like sin. Amen. See, you can't take a hard drive out of a Macintosh computer and put it in an apple. It ain't going to work. See, and some of us trying to do the Christian thing without the new spirit. It's impossible. But we come to church and we come to church because we want to be in church. But we don't really want to hear the truth. We just want to be in church because church has been taught by the false teachers that's your ticket. Join the church, you go to heaven. It comes with, it's a package deal. Listen to what Paul says. He says, about Satan in verse number 9. He says, even him, Satan, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. See, we got world now. And it's becoming an epidemic. Uh-huh. Folks are leaving the Baptist church. And they're going to the Assembly of God churches. They're going to the tongue-speaking churches. Uh-huh. Let me tell you something. There ain't a tongue speaker alive today. Okay?
Amen.
That know that they ain't a fraud.
Amen.
Amen. I say that. People say, well, you shouldn't say that. Some folks really got the real gift of tongues. Nobody got the real gift of tongues.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
They ain't saying nothing. Because, see, if I take the microphone and tape them while they babbling,
uh-huh,
I ought to be able to take what they're babbling down to YSU. In the Department of Communications and say, what language is this?
Amen.
And some say, well, I won't do it in church. I do it in my prayer closet.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. If you had the true gift of tongues, you can't turn it on and turn it off when you wanted to.
Amen.
You're going to speak it. And when you speak it, you're going to look around and say, well, somebody interpret that. I know that's a little tough. We got some tongue speaking friends, and maybe some of us in here speaking tongues. I do. I went down to Elkton, and I was speaking. They asked me to come down to Elkton and preach. And they had large Hispanic folks. They said, well, we need to get you a translator. So I preached for an hour with a little guy next to me. And everything I said, he was pulling on my jacket. You're going too fast. He would translate what I said to them Hispanic folks.
Amen.
That's how it's supposed to be done.
Amen.
But getting to our text. Here's Paul in verse 11 says this. For this cause, because we love sin and we love false teaching and we love untruths, we love it. He said, for this cause, God shall send them, come to the church, strong delusion. Strong delusion. Delusion means strong, a deceitfulness. Okay? He's going to send them a strong deceitfulness that they should believe a lie. And we know folks like that. I mean, they're not coming out of that. Because God has sent them a strong loser. Leave them alone. Because they may be beyond hope. Don't waste your time. And we do. We spend a lot of time trying to save somebody that God may have given a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I know that's not. Can't give up on people. We got to keep preaching. Keep preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the same result if that person's been turned over to a reprobate mind.
Amen.
Now, let's get back to this coat thing. It's so much. Remember the story in Mark? Mark 10. Blind Bartimaeus. Mm-hmm. I believe Jeremy touched on it a little bit on Friday. I believe. Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus had a coat. He had a cloak on. And when Jesus came to blind Bartimaeus, the people started screaming at blind Bartimaeus, telling him to be quiet. They say, shut up, blind Bartimaeus, 10:46. Mark. Now watch this. Because a lot of us can't cast away our coat. A lot of us can't get saved because we got other things that's in our way. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't going to let anything separate him from his opportunity to get saved.
Amen.
Okay? It says, and many charged him, verse 48, that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal.
Yes.
Thou son of David.
Yes, Lord.
Have mercy on me. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get saved if you ain't got the, ability to cry. See, some of us too prideful. Some of us too arrogant. We can't cry out to God. Know you're in a hellish situation. Know full well if you died today, you pulled out that lot and somebody was coming up there 90 miles an hour and wiped you out, you'll open your eyes in hell. You know that. You know you're wrong. You know the things that's in your heart ain't right. You know the things that you do ain't right, but you won't cry out to the Lord because you know it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a friendship. It may cost you a job. It may cost you. And we won't cry out. It's going to cost you. It may cost you some family members.
Yeah.
Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus ain't gonna cost me. He said, I'm getting ready to get this thing up. And this is strong language. This is strong language. He says in verse 49, and Jesus stood still and he commanded him to be called. Now many are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now he called blind Bartimaeus. He said, the Bible said he called him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth you, or calleth thee. Now watch this. This is important. Because we talk about that cloak. Because see, to the Christian, to the man of God, to the woman of God, that cloak ain't worth nothing.
Amen.
You know why? Because the Lord will provide.
Amen.
That relationship, that friendship, that car, that house, that job, it ain't worth nothing if it's going to cost you your standing with the Lord.
Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus in verse 50, look what he said now. And he heard the call. He understood what the call meant. What he did? What did he do? Casting away his garment. That's the first thing he had to do. That filthy, nasty garment. And see, we got some filthy, nasty garments covering us. And we can't come to Jesus with them on. Oh, come on now. See, we want to come to Jesus with our sin and our flesh. And we just want to bring the devil right on into Jesus' throne. Let me tell you something. I use the golf analogy all the time. Y'all watch Tiger Woods, y'all watch the golfers, and they got the caddy. And Tiger Woods only got a club in his hand or his glove. And the caddy got the bag, all the clubs and stuff in it. See, that's us. We coming to Jesus. But we got our caddy carrying our bag of stuff. Sin, filthiness, all our foul language, all our porno tapes, all our Netflix movies. And we just coming to Jesus with all our stuff. Look what he did. This is important. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. See, I say that because salvation is costly. You're not coming to the Lord on your own terms. So Donald Trump can get up there and say all he want. Marco and Ted Cruz, they can sit up there and say all they want.
Uh-huh.
Say, folks, don't act like that. Uh-huh. Christian folks want to make a fools of themselves on stage before the whole world.
Uh-huh.
Three of the most powerful men in the world cracking jokes. They might have said Kevin Hart up there. They would have had a real comedian. Oh, we don't want to hear it. We just don't, but it's just the truth.
Amen.
And then when you ask yourself, you know what, Pastor? You're trying to indict me? They indicted Jesus.
Amen.
Remember Jesus?
Yeah.
They indicted him. They say, but Pastor, what you mean they indicted him? They indicted him. They indicted him, they humiliated him, they mocked him, and the world is still doing that to save folks. And Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. I just want you to know what you're getting into.
Amen.
See, I want you to know when you come to the Jesus, when you walk down this aisle and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, understand that you will be despised and rejected.
Amen.
Your friends say, man, listen, you must be out of your mind. You believe all that foolishness? You're going to give up what we have? You're going to give up pushing weight on the block and doing all this? We live in large. It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
It's important that the truth be told. Here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Mark 15. And the soldiers, 15:16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. They were an audience. They're getting ready to humiliate a Christian. They're getting ready to humiliate a man of God. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. This Jesus we serve.
Amen.
And they got a crown for you. The world got a purple robe for you. Because the world want to make a fool out of you. And they begin to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed. And did spit upon him. And bowing their knees, they worship him. They didn't worship him. They mocked him. They mocked him. They gave the appearance of reverence toward him. But really, they was just mocking him. And you're going to get mocked. You have to. If you don't, there's a problem. If you don't get mocked, there's a problem. You in the mocking business. If folks ain't mocking you because of your faith, because of your relationship with the Lord, and you really got to check yourself, because the mocking and the ridicule is confirmation that you're walking with the Lord.
Amen.
See, the world today teaches the Christian we deserve approval, we need applause, and we need admiration and honor. You're not getting that when you're serving God.
Amen.
In a dark world.
Right.
You're just not. Your approval rating will be zero.
Amen.
It will be zero. It will be zero. Folks, as I move, as I close, man, you short today? No, I'm not short today. I said a lot.
Amen.
Listen, before you stoop to the level of someone else's ignorance because they want to sue you or they want to indict you, understand you deserve to be indicted. The road to heaven is a suffering way.
Amen.
See, folks is getting sick. I went in Friday, had a colonoscopy. I don't know what they could have told me anything when I came out of there. Now I have to be ready before I go in there.
Amen.
They could have said, listen, we got to remove your colon. You got polyps and everything. You a mess. Some folks get colonoscopies and they wait too late. They wait too late. They wait till they start hurting. And then they go. And the doctor say, well, there ain't nothing we can do. That's for the 45-year-olds and up.
Amen.
The road to heaven is a suffering way. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. He says, it's Timothy 2:12. He said, listen, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. That's what it's all about. Blessed are the mourners. If you're not suffering, you're probably not going to reign with him. No, I mean suffering for righteousness' sake.
Amen.
Some of us suffer because we just out of God's will.
Yeah.
I thought about that. And they was talking about the poverty rate in South Carolina. They say 860,000 folks live under the poverty rate. Well, you know what? I spiritualize everything. I said, let me tell you something. If 860,000 folks in South Carolina is living in poverty, then you got 860,000 folks in South Carolina that need the Lord.
Amen.
Because the word of God says, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or they see breaking bread, and there ain't a person in here.
Amen.
that know a person that loved the Lord that's begging and suffering. You can't find one.
Amen.
You won't find one. If you do, God's word's a lie. You show me a person that loved the Lord and serve God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and you got a person who prospering. Who's prospering on the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. You can take away the material stuff.
Amen.
But you can't take away God's spiritual treasures. He will give you spiritual treasures.
Amen.
And if that person living under the poverty way, he may never know. You may never know. Because he's doing well in God's eyes. But we have to suffer. We have to suffer. But listen, God will never forsake us. He will never forsake us. Listen, living godly, you will suffer. I say that. Y'all, this pastor always talks about the suffering game. Listen, we in the suffering game. The word of God is a book about suffering. Paul says to Timothy, y'all heard it so many times. It should just resonate in your mind. It just should come right to you. You know where he's going. 2 Timothy 2:12. Or 3:12. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Some of us today, on today, we're going to do something. We're going to go somewhere that just because we don't want to fall out of fellowship with folks. We're going to participate in something. We're going to say something. We're going to laugh at a joke that we know we shouldn't. Only because we want to stay in right relationship with that lost person. Because we know we don't laugh. We don't go. We don't show up. What's wrong with you? Oh, I know that's right. Because most of us are cowards.
Amen.
When it comes to standing for God. We don't want to stand for him because we don't want to pay the price. And like I said earlier, put your big boy drawers on if you're going to tell me you're a Christian. Donald Trump need to put your big boy drawers on if you're going to tell me you're a Christian. And you cracking jokes and talking about everybody. It was something on the TV today. He was talking about, I could have did Prince D. Really? Lord help us. Princess Diana. You know, and I don't say that because I have any respect for the Democrats. Because they don't even mention God.
Amen.
They could care less about the things of God. Which is really probably the better position to be in than to say you're something that you ain't.
Amen.
Just don't mention them.
Amen.
Well, who are you going to vote for? J-E-S-U-S.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Listen, I went all over the place. But I want to say this as I close. There's nothing wrong with being indicted. Children, take it. Take the indictment. We took it. Because Satan in 1 Peter 5:8, and I close, says this. Says, be sober. Be vigilant. Pay attention. I was talking to Glorice the other day. She's driving now. I said, Glorice, don't be riding around with the seesaw back. Music all blaring. Watch where you go. There's places a young woman can't drive. There's places a woman can't go. We're a sick world. These are sick young men out here. You know, listen, half of the youth where I work at is called what they call juvenile sex offenders. These kids is messed up. I got three teenagers. I had a 12-year-old boy come over to the house the other day. I said, you can go home. You can go home. I don't need a 12-year-old boy around teenagers. And he's just laughing and giggling, and the boys don't understand.
Uh-huh.
They don't understand. Well, I understand. Coot understand. Roy understand. Evelina understand. We in that business.
Uh-huh.
Because you're 15 and 16, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do. You're out of control.
Yeah, Lord.
All right.
Yeah,
you just don't know. Pay attention. Jasmine, be sober. Be vigilant. You know, you got a security system working all the time. Work, just like we got on the church. Pay attention. Why? Tell me why, Pastor. Why should I be sober? And why should I be vigilant? Why should I be sober, Randy? Why should I be paying attention? Why should I be sober? Why should I be vigilant? Why should I be watching my life? Because you just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Let me tell you something. If the right person get killed, somebody going to jail.
Amen.
Somebody going to jail.
Amen.
Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, your enemy, Slewfoot, father of lies, murderer. We went over all this on Wednesday. The devil as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you something. Lions ain't stupid. Okay? They ain't chasing the deer that's working out every day. Running a 4-2-1. They chasing the deer that's limping around spiritually. And don't have no spiritual power. Don't have no power over his emotion. No power over his thought life. No power over his sexuality, and that's the one that's limping around, dragging that leg. Why would that lion go to the front of the pack and get that person who's strong? Gonna give him a battle. He ain't, listen, you taste just as good with a broke leg. So, some of you say, folks in here that don't read the Bible and don't study, and you're limping around. And your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, waiting, seeking whom he may devour. He ain't looking for somebody that's going to put up a fight. You get a crackhead, He not walking in Walmart parking lot looking for somebody walking out of there strong. He looking for that person who come out of Walmart, and I actually have to get on Cindy. I say, put some pep in your step. Dragging around. Y'all young women, y'all come out of this Walmart and the stores, y'all be in fight mode.
Amen.
That's part of being vigilant. Oh, I'm getting carried away. Listen, folks. If somebody asks you for your coat, give them the cloak also. Don't let something petty cost you your relationship with the Lord. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus.